Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at this last week's message about waiting on God. And then we're going to dive into this idea of solitude. What does that mean? Without further ado, let's get started. This last week, we kicked off the Advent season, and we looked at this idea of waiting on God. And sometimes it seems like God is silent, much like the 400 years in between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and Matthew and the Gospels, and when Jesus came to earth. There was 400 years of silence. And we looked at how there is really three key takeaways we wanted to look at. Number one, it was the preparation of silence. You know, during this silent times, sometimes God is preparing us for the work that is ahead. The second thing we looked at is the faith of silence. And this idea that during these times of silence, although we know that God is still working, sometimes it's hard and our faith can be tested. But in these times of silence, of when God appears to be quiet, even though we know he's working, we can build our faith because, as Hebrews tells us, it is the confidence in what we cannot see, this ability to believe God, even though it appears like maybe he's being silent. And the third aspect we looked at was the impact of silence. And what does this, how does this affect us when silence is in the midst of that silence? What is God doing in our lives? At the beginning, we looked at the preparation of silence and this idea from John chapter 5 that even in the silence, God is working. And we see in John chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "My Father is always working, as am I." And so this really brings to notion the idea that even though it appears that there's silence, God is working. In fact, one of the key points we took away from this preparation is that God's silence is actually his preparation. He may be working in us, in other scenarios, or in other ways. In fact, we saw that even though there was 400 years of silence, God was still at work. You know, this idea of the Greek language was taking a foothold and becoming common, and so this helped later in the spread of the gospel. The Romans were hard at work making roads between cities, and this made travel and the taking of the gospel easier later. And even though the Jewish people were facing persecution, they were staying strong in the Lord, and he was preparing them for this time. One of the favorite movies that I have that we watch almost every single year is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And one line that I always remember is when Gandalf, the wizard, is coming to visit Frodo and Bilbo Baggins. And Frodo runs in and makes this proclamation that, "You're late." Gandalf looks at him and says, "A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to." And I think this idea of preparation, that God was at work preparing things so that at just the right time, as Romans 5 tells us, that Christ entered this world in the human form. We often experience seasons of waiting and silence in our lives. Instead of seeing these times as abandonment, we can trust that God may be preparing us for something greater, and he is most definitely at work. That is the preparation of silence. The second thing we looked at was the faith of silence. And as I made a joke, even though many didn't laugh, I said the 20th century philosopher Tom Petty, who obviously that is a joke, made this comment in one of his songs as he penned these words, "The waiting is the hardest part." And this is most definitely the case. And in Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith recounted of the Old Testament people that had tremendous faith in God. Even though they couldn't see him, they had faith that he was at work. And we realize that genuine faith thrives in the absence of evidence. You see, we realize that as followers of Jesus, we may not always see the next step. And in fact, most of the time, even if we see the next step, we don't know what's coming immediately after that. And we can rest assured, though, that we can trust God's word. Just like the Jewish people who held tightly to the words of the Old Testament, we can hold tightly to the word of God in times of great trial or just in times of silence. God's word is trustworthy. When God is silent, it might be a test. It might be a simple preparation phase. But the question we can ask ourselves is, will we trust God? The question is not, is God working? The question is, how will we respond in this quiet time, during this time of preparation, of testing of our faith? Well, the final thing we looked at was the impact of silence, the impact of waiting for something that is seen most definitely this time of year as we are in the Advent season on the run-up to Christmas. And we see that, whether it's Advent calendars, advertisements, catalogs, our sweet tooth, or just the fact that things are getting closer, there is a lot of anticipation. And the impact of this anticipation, of the waiting, of the silence that leads up until Christmas is definitely seen in today's world. The silence of the 400 years made the arrival of Jesus all the more powerful more than 2,000 years ago. And when we read the verse from John chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in verse 15, it tells us that Jesus testified to this truth. See, the longer we wait, the more impactful the arrival of the gift, that revival of the gift of Jesus that came. And even though the earth, as it says in Romans chapter 8, was in childbirth pains, as it was waiting for the anticipation of the coming of Jesus, when Jesus came, it rejoiced. Jesus was the end to the 400 years of silence, and this ushered in redemption that would change everything. And just as God's people waited, we too today wait for the second coming. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus is coming again, and this time he is coming as a conquering king. And we realize that as followers of Jesus, we wait with much anticipation so that Jesus would come back and the world would be as it was intended to be. As I was thinking about this idea of waiting and waiting in silence, I couldn't help but think of this idea of what Jesus used to do. You know, you read throughout all the Gospels, and so many times you see two things that Jesus does on a regular basis. One is withdraw from people and remain in solitude, in silence. That's right, the God of all creation who came down as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ walked this earth, modeled something for us that was very powerful, and that was taking time in solitude. And the second was very much patterned after this and really went hand in hand with this, and this was prayer. We see many times Jesus withdrawing, remaining quiet and listening to God, but also communing in prayer. Well, this week I attended a meeting for something I do on a regular basis, and someone shared about this idea of solitude. And solitude is something that we as believers just don't do very well at all. Solitude is this idea of withdrawing from our day-to-day activity and just listening in quiet to God. Now, the passage that this person shared with us, this chaplain shared with us, was actually from Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, there's several things going on, but one thing that happens here is when Jesus feeds the 5,000. In this story, this account is just used so many times because it's such a powerful example of the supernatural power that Jesus had as the Son of God. 5,000 men were fed. So it's on a conservative estimate, you could say 10,000 people probably were likely fed that day with a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes and the power of an almighty God through Jesus. But what's interesting about this story is so many times people stop there. And immediately following this passage in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 21, It says the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. And then in verse 22, it uses this word immediately. And I love this. If you're having your Bible open and you're following along with me, circle the word immediately. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Okay, right there, it seems like, okay, Jesus is winding down, right? You can picture a ministry event, something at church that happens, and the pastor immediately sends on the folks ahead of him. Right? He sends them on ahead of them. And then the pastor would say, okay, and sends the rest of the people home who just received this miraculous thing that happened to them. And what does Jesus do? Well, this is fascinating. And I want to admit that I didn't pick up on this immediately as I've read this other times, but now I'm honing in on this. And it says this in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 14. It says, after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. And I would say remain in solitude. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, if you would just continue reading here and skip over verse 23, you would miss so much. Jesus gives us this tremendous example, and this is just one of many. He sent them away. And after he had dismissed them, verse 23, he went up to the mountainside by himself in solitude to pray. Now, Jesus gives plenty of these examples over and over again. Sometimes the disciples were eagerly looking for him because they needed to do the work of the ministry, but Jesus was away quietly. In this case, he sent the people away, sent the disciples ahead of him, and he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Oh, what a powerful moment there. What a powerful reminder. Can I challenge you today? Do you take time of regular, daily solitude, time away where you just listen and you just pray? Do you? See, Jesus, the Son of God, fully man, demonstrates something here of what was so powerful about Jesus' ministry. Yes, he's the Son of God. He has powers at his fingertips that we might not be able to do. But he models something here, and we realize that the source of his strength, the source of his power, comes through his relationship with the Father. And Jesus models this here and takes time and sends the people away, sends the disciples ahead, and went up to the mountain alone and prayed. And it just hits me. Do I take that same level of care to take time alone and pray? Do I? Well, the short answer is not all as often as I should. And you know, I was thinking about this and this idea of prayer. So many times we think prayer is simply speaking to God. And it is. It's not that it's not that. It's that prayer is also just as important when we listen. Are we taking time to quiet our mind, to block out everything else, to send everything else away, and to listen to what God is speaking to us that moment? You know, here's the amazing thing. As followers of Jesus Christ, my Bible tells me that we are given the very Holy Spirit comes in us and dwells within us. And what that tells me is we have the same power of God available to us. The Holy Spirit, the one that was there at the beginning, hovering over the waters as before creation happened, is now living in us if we're following Jesus and we surrendered our life to him. The question is, are we allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to live itself out in us? Solitude is that practice of remaining quiet, surrendering the moment to God and saying, God, speak to me as I listen. As you block everything out, as you allow the Holy Spirit to move in our life. See, I'm convinced the older I get and the more I study that sanctification is not just removing this sin from our lives or making us more like Christ, but it is the addition and allowing the Holy Spirit that is already in us to take power and take root over the sin and over the humanness in our lives. And we recognize that God is God and He's working through the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, if you're struggling with knowing what's next, if you're making a big life decision and you haven't come to that clear resolution yet, I'm here to tell you that maybe that resolution rests in solitude. You know, if you're having a tough time with a sin in your life, maybe the resolution rests in solitude. It's in those moments of solitude that we can pray with our hands and palms facing down, representing the fact that we're giving that moment to God. We're giving that sin, we're giving that frustration, that struggle to God. Well, this is a very powerful passage that so many times gets overlooked, because I can tell you that because I've done it. But today I want you to meditate on this verse, Matthew 14:23, where it says, after he had dismissed them, after Jesus had dismissed them, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Well, I'm encouraging you today to consider pressing in to the silence, pressing into the silence, recognizing that just because it's quiet doesn't mean that God's not at work. And it's sometime it's in that silence that we can intentionally take time to press everything away, to press into Jesus, and to fully realize what John chapter 15 was all about when he said, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. In other words, rest in me, remain in me, come to him, sit in silence and listen for him to speak to you. And then ask for the faith and the obedience to take those steps of what he's directing you next. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. So until next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.